Hello and welcome to Lead with Heart. I am your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen, and today I find myself in a little cute beach town of Dominical in the southern part of Costa Rica, and we are heading in to Dualia Clinic and Bathhouse. Check out some of these amazing treatment spaces that these beautiful rooms welcome, this amazing organic lighting. I definitely would love to have a massage in here. If we come over to this side, there's another great little room right in here. Traditional Chinese medicine and energy healing, all sorts of alternative therapies are being welcomed. And again, just feeling the vibe already, it's just so peaceful just walking in. Another thing I'm learning to appreciate about Dualia is not only the holistic and alternative, but also the medical and the clinical. IV treatments and other medical treatments, again, we'll learn more about later today. Part of the reason why I chose to come here today to Dualia is because it is a place of health and wellness. Lead with Heart is more than just leadership. It's about living the best version of ourselves. And so this is an environment that supports that. This is an amazing outdoor shower before, after the saunas, before, after whatever treatments I'm getting here. Able to come out here and just really feel held by this beautiful wooden structure as also cleansing the physical body. So the final part of this tour will take us through this space to actually be able to see the amazing set that we are going to be working with today, set out here in nature. On this side of me, I have these amazing cold plunges, which are ancient way, but again, it's becoming popular again, a way to help regulate our nervous system, do deeper inner focused work. And probably my most favorite thing about Dualia is their sauna. Oh, it smells so good in here. And this is a traditional style of using heated electric coils to heat these rocks and pour the water on it. And it's a way that we can bring that back into our modern life. Here at Dualia, they found a way to weave it in. And just reminding everyone that we're only maybe 500 meters from the beach right here. We're in the middle of a bustling little beach town. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Another amazing set and setting that we can all do our part to lead with heart. Pura vida. Welcome to Lead with Heart. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and today we explore the essence of leadership beyond strategy and status. You're watching Now Media Television. Hello, and welcome to Lead with Heart, the show where strategy meets soul and purpose comes together with passion. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen. And today my guest is Megan Hansen, an integrative healing practitioner and sacred retreat leader with Earth School Embodiment. With over two decades in mental health and education, Megan bridges science and spirit through breathwork, somatic healing, sound, and hypnotherapy, guiding individuals and groups into deeper embodiment, wholeness, and light. Megan is based here in Costa Rica and leads retreats, group experiences, and one-on-one sessions through her brand, Earth School Embodiment. So Megan Hansen, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Jesse Hansen.
And
it's
beyond,
great to be here.
Yeah, beyond the coincidence of our last name, let's say beyond the official formal interview or introduction here, just to name, yeah, Megan and I are blood siblings. We were born to the same mother and father, And so I am probably just the perfect balance of crazy and courageous to invite Megan onto the show today. So I'm really happy to have you here, and thanks for saying yes.
Gracias, Jesse. Yeah. I'm really grateful to be here. For the invitation.
Awesome. Yeah. And, you know, viewers, hopefully you're learning by now, the show is not just about singing accolades of great leaders, but to really take the time to slow down the story and understand how you got here, how you got to this place of running Earth School Embodiments and everything else you do. And so this first segment is dedicated to the seed or the beginnings. And obviously as siblings, I have a little bit of an idea of some of the stuff you may have gone through. However, I want to treat this as a fresh opportunity for you to just share your story and tell us, you know, who were you? What role did you play in our family of origin? And how has that impacted, you know, your whole journey?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Jess, I mean, as you mentioned, you probably have some idea of where this all began, and even more so in our lives now, understanding each other more than we ever, I think, have. I would say in my experience in our family, my role certainly at one point and for a very long time was what I kind of call the, well, for lack of a better word, the bad sheep,
yeah,
right? The black sheep of the family. And I think if we were to, you know, look back even further, you know, it was, you know, one of my greatest wounds, you know, of and that's been really present since I moved here in Costa Rica and been reengaging in our relationship is the dynamic between you, myself, and our mom. And so as you know, as I came into the world after you were already in the world at about 2.5 years old, dynamics quickly shifted for you.
You took my throne, right?
I took your throne.
Yeah.
And I didn't even mean to.
Yeah.
And I didn't even want to. And what I've, you know, come to understand how that manifested and in what I internalized of that is that, you know, a deep, deep wound of rejection for being born, right? And there's no blame or shame on the 2.5 year old. He was only, yeah, doing exactly what he needed to do. And, you know, we used to joke about the things you would say about me as a little 2 year old. When are we taking that baby back to the store? Don't let that baby drink all my milk. And, you know, we would joke, not knowing what we know now, how deeply
traumatic, yeah, that whole thing
is. Yeah.
How we can use humor to buffer some of the pain sometimes, yeah, but no, it is painful.
Yeah, and so that really has, yeah, shaded my existence. And that's been a really big piece, you know, for me feeling that I deserve to take up space, you know, and being able to believe in myself. And then another dynamic in there, I don't know how personal we want to get other pieces that have been coming forth are that are very important is just, you know, God bless our mother for wanting to do this work at 82 years old, doing work with us and in our hearts, inner work with us. And, you know, when she was as a raging feminist, which I'm so proud of her for that. I know there is some, of course, shadow within that movement. But as the raging feminist, she was able to hold on to that identity and raise you. But when she had two little ones, that identity of hers had to go, and she was only the domesticated mother. And what feels true in my experience is I became her purpose. Right?
Or the reallocation of all that raging feminist energy went into you.
Yeah.
As her purpose, as a...
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. And in order for her to maintain purpose, I needed to stay small. And so I just bring that in because it's been such a big part of my personal path and also where I lead from, yeah, right? The path that I've walked through and...
You know the other side of the coin of,
yeah,
feeling rejected or less than.
And just needing to stay small my, yeah, whole life, my whole life. And so as, yeah, so I think, you know, as I grew, I just stayed in that dynamic. And I will never forget, and I don't know if I'm allowed to drop this name, but it's a nickname. So it was in high school, and all the cheerleaders would come, and you were a senior, I was a freshman. And, oh my God, it's Jesse Hansen's little sister, so cute, all the cheerleaders look, da 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 da. And I'm like, ugh. And I went to a party, and I was doing the party, and another senior, nicknamed Weed, passed me a blunt, and I'm smoking it, and he's like, who are you? And I said, Megan Hansen. He said, you know Jesse Hansen? I said, yeah, that's my brother. He's like, no way. And I was like, now that is what I'm going for. And that solidified my identity in that moment.
To become the bad girl.
There was space for me, yeah, yeah, in that role. I didn't, yeah, see space. Right? Like in my experience, you've held such a big,
yeah,
and I know it wasn't all authentic, right? You were hurting too. And yeah,
it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies for, yeah, me, but from your perspective,
from
it was like,
perspective,
couldn't live up to the brother energy. And I, as you were the black sheep, I was the golden sheep or the good boy or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, so I actually never knew that part of the story. I knew lots of parties and blunts, but that moment of when that person identified you because you were being naughty or bad or doing something that I would never have done at that time. Wow. Yeah. No, it's so powerful. I mean, thank you so much for just being raw and vulnerable and honest about, you know, our family dynamic. And also, you know, that's fascinating. And part of this segment is seeing, you know, how the stuff that happens when we're young impacts who we become, right? So,
absolutely.
So that's the moment where you, because yeah, that's the majority of the memories I have is like, you know, you having a lot more discipline challenges, let's call it. And, you know, in essence, yeah, becoming more and more the bad girl, but also thinking about it as, yeah, is it just a cry for help, a cry for attention?
Yeah.
Those kind of elements.
Yeah. Yeah. And I often look at the scarlet letter, the black sheep, however we want. It feels in a lot of, in the work that I've done and seeing the dynamics in the family root system, there are roles and people fill these. And for whatever reason, that is what I chose. And I do, to your point, feel like not to, you know, I have my own responsibility and all of that. And it was hard on a lot of the family, the choices I was making. And it was almost like I was the reflection of the undercurrent that we weren't talking about, right? I was the mirror for the whole family. Like, I was scared. Our father had been diagnosed with a death wish, right? I was 10 years old. And so the numbing out and the escape and the anger and the defiance, it feels
and
like
a disconnect from me, right? Like just to be, not be me or be my little sister. You were building your own identity.
Yeah. And thinking you didn't want me.
Yeah.
It wasn't that I didn't want you.
Yeah.
I have always been waiting for the moment to where you've wanted me, you know, and, to be completely honest, as much as I want to say, like, I came out here to do Megan and there was little Maggie was a big part of it,
yeah.
You know, more subconscious in those moments of decision making to be here and action. Very clearly, it's a truth to me that I know there was a big part that was like, Jesse wants me.
Yeah.
That little younger part was like, yes,
yeah.
I'm going to move towards that.
Yeah.
It's been my dream.
How
unconscious.
Right. Unconsciously. And even decades later, that force is still inside that got set in motion just by birth order.
Yeah.
Right. Just by birth order. Like you said, little Jesse at 2.5, he was doing exactly what he ought to do.
Yeah.
Like fighting for mom's attention. That's what all little young ones do. And you were doing what you were doing, which is being born. Right.
Yeah.
And yet, and bless our mom's heart. We love her so much. And like you said, she's doing her work now, even, you know, in her late 70s, into her 80s now, and really looking at all this stuff with us. And, you know, it's easy to point fingers and step back. And I learned this as a psychologist too. It's really easy to stand on the outside and be like, oh yeah, mom shoulda, coulda, woulda this. I know now too, as a father and many children, that it's hard. It's really hard to balance all of it. And we're still human. The parents are still humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So at this point in the story, you're revealing that, you know, yeah, that from birth, there was that sort of feeling rejected or feeling like maybe I didn't want you or where did you fit into the family, and, you know, mom putting her purpose into you by keeping you small.
Yeah.
So these are a lot of challenges. And I remember, you know, by teenage and even in when you were in college in North Carolina, you know, there were still run-ins with the police and, you know, Wild Megs was fully out. And so, you know, just to think about, wow, okay, I'm on this trajectory. One might think, oh my goodness, like this person's going to be in jail. Is this person going to work at, you know, a convenience store the rest of their life? What is this, right? So curious to hear, even though I know that the outcomes, I want to hear how the story is going to be told today. So when we get back from this break, we are going to dive deeper into Megan's story and learn more about who she is becoming and how she continues to foster an amazing life here in Costa Rica. So please stay tuned to Lead with Heart. We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Leadership isn't just about decisions. It's about presence, compassion, and courage. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, somatic psychologist and healer. And on Lead with Heart, we explore what happens when we lead with awareness, compassion, and the body in mind. From brain health to relational intelligence, from trauma-informed leadership to embodied teams, each episode reveals a deeper way to lead. Lead with Heart is airing now on Now Media TV, because the greatest leaders don't just guide people, they awaken them. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose.
App on iOS and Android, and you can also find us on podcasts if you prefer that method. We're on all the major platforms, so please stay tuned. We've got you covered. And now we're back here at Dualia in Costa Rica with my sister and colleague and friend now, thankfully. We've made it through a lot. And so we're here to hear this segment around who Megan is becoming and to continue this story forward. So more or less, you know, you pick up where you feel best, but we're at a place of your sort of redefining your identity as the bad girl, the wild one.
Yeah.
This takes you through college and what else is relevant?
I guess in undergrad, I started to shift out of that. You know, I sort of hit a bit of a rock bottom.
Realizing it maybe wasn't the best path.
Yeah, and then I deserve more, right?
Most importantly.
I was always good on paper. Like, if I had a resume, right? I'm an all-star athlete, year-round athlete. Like, I'm a honor roll student. I look good on the outside. But you don't make those choices if you're feeling good on the inside, you know? I would say the chunk of it, one piece just for maybe the viewers, you know, you and I really had no relationship.
We were pretty estranged from each other. And
I think at one point we put in a 48-hour, like once a year, 48-hour visitation rule that after 48 hours, shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
And funny, not funny. So I would say, just moving, a little bit more into my life is, started kind of getting my life together, aka was a teacher working with students with behavior emotional disorders. I don't really like that language. That's what the degree is in. And I was making my way and started getting involved in competitive women's rugby. And that was a huge part of my identity of who I was.
You became a professional rugby player, right?
Like, Russell Manos, you always like to say that. And that does feel good. I had a lot
very
of
professional. You're always traveling all over the country to play.
All over the world. I played in eight different countries at different Olympic training centers. So
let's slow down on that for a second, right? Think of the roles. Okay. From the rejected little one to then you found a new identity in that naughtiness or that moment of being the bad girl. And now 5-0 was your rugby title, right? So the rugby version is born, and I'm just now appreciating it different than I've heard this story before, where, you know, it's like almost like a step. It's a step in a healing direction because you're still in that badass role and you're still, you know, rough and tumble, but you're no longer as destructive to yourself.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Exactly right. It was channeling all of that in a healthier way.
Yeah.
And for sure, it was a spiritual experience every time I stepped on that pitch. And it's passion, it's heart, and that's who 5-0 is. This, you know, this aspect of me.
Yeah.
And also, there was a wounded piece of it. Even when I look at the role I chose, it's you are the workhorse of the team. You run 7 to 8 miles a match. People would put hits out. 5-0, number 10, I need you to take her out. Okay, lay a hit. You know, but there was something about I held still that like, And so there was
anger.
And so it's even now hard because to say anything slightly not wonderful about rugby because it filled my heart so much as well. And it's just the teaching of light and shadow to all things.
Yeah. And the shadow in it is?
Out of balance in the masculine.
And like in terms of self-love and helping yourself develop, right? It was also you were still getting hurt a lot, but physically now instead of legally or biochemically, you were getting hurt a lot. Concussions, you were still like identifying through somehow you need to like lose or get hurt.
And it may be that and also some testament to strength.
Yeah.
Some testament to being a strong human where I find that differently now.
Yeah.
Right.
You see what strength is differently.
Yeah. And source it in myself where I'm looking for it. I think it also ties in a little bit with our parents because I was the raging feminist, tough daughter that, you know, couldn't wear dresses and, you know, like, or for fear of losing love. And then I was also the boy my dad, maybe didn't quite have, right? Like I was tomboy. So this essence of me got a lot of love if I conformed into this type of transactional, right? Like if you are this, you will be loved. Whether that's true, that's my programming, right? Yeah. That's how I internalized and made sense of the system. So I think really just, fast forwarding a little bit now to what I would call a pretty, you know, again, on the outside, living the American dream. Not like I, you know, kittens and rainbows, just good 9-to-5, a teacher, a social worker, doing all the good work, getting so many accolades for saving the world. I'm at campsites working with chronic homelessness, you know, in campsites at 2 a.m. if you call me. I'm there, bro, I got you. I'm in it with you. And you know, moving, on paper well, yet very unconsciously.
Well, the light side is it now, you know, getting out of the police cars and getting out of even now the rugby field into, and I know rugby carried over some of your time as social worker, but it, you know, again, you look so good on paper, but underneath it, you know, you're still exhausted and it's still like, it's such a broken system, the whole system, social care, social services and all that, that I witness you, even though we weren't extremely connected and we did go more than the 48 hours often, but was that, I mean, I could tell like you were just drained and I knew it too, because I was raised in the same family system as you, this consciousness that, you know, if we're going to work hard and sort of barely make it by, or we, you know, if we're helping people that are less fortunate than us, we're only going to make a little bit of money or whatever, right? So it's like, I'm starting to see it now with you, the story, you're getting out of this webbing. And yet, even while it looks really good on paper, and you're now like in your 30s, right, more or less, but you know underneath your soul's still hurting. And that was showing up. You don't have to go into this more or less, but I just remember too, like even your romantic relationship was kind of a reflection of that inauthentic state, you know?
Yeah. And so I think, I've sat a lot with what to share here today, and because so much of my path of healing and the path I walk now is trust and truth, you know, authenticity. So it feels impossible. Like it doesn't feel authentic if I don't share this about, because it's been such a huge part. So you bring up, I was in a 10-year relationship, an ex-fiance, we were engaged, amazing man, again, on paper, all of that. And yet we were only able to go as deep as we could go, right? In both living relatively, I'll say me living unconsciously. And as the wedding day approached, I also mentioned here, because of our father being diagnosed with a fatal lung disease very young and not having any type of foundation in place of spirituality or religion, the only thing I knew was good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. And
so
I don't
know. Why is this happening to our dad?
And I just thought he must have cheated on mom. Mm-hmm. He hurt somebody. And I don't know if you remember, but I stopped calling him dad.
Yeah.
At 10 years old, I called him Bill.
Yeah.
And so it just learning also that became my way of like loss, disconnecting from it and not being able to be actually in it and close to it. And so, to this relationship, it was approaching the wedding and I had people make comments that like, you're the most unenthused bride I've ever met. And I was so unconscious. I'd say, what? What do you mean? I couldn't believe I was coming off that way. And, so sorry to, if it feels like I'm jumping a little bit, but the atheist piece was anger at God as I knew it. And I said, because of dad. And then because of the work you work in chronic homelessness, bro. It's the most desperate humans you ever meet. And I don't mean any, they're the strongest people you ever meet. And I think they're the most ascended soul masters on this planet. They come back to get the hardest teachings in the most dire experiences and live in. I can go on a passionate thing about that, but anger about all the injustice, all the pain I see in the world. I work in this. This is what I'm choosing to sit with every day. So I'm not going to honor a God. In the way, the only way that I knew it, which was very traditional, some male entity up there making decisions. So atheist, not having, you know, any foundation, and I bring the atheist in because it was just a couple months before I was to get married, and it was a Tuesday in the house that we were living in together, and I had a spiritual experience for the first time in my life, and it was very embodied. And it was, I'm just in the kitchen and it's like everything's moving through me. Energy is moving through me. I feel like I'm just going to literally explode from the inside out. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if it's, I'm in a master's, my graduate doing at an
trying to analyze it, but you can't figure it out.
With all the clinical terms and I mean, I know now it was spirit moving through me and I receive messages so much through my body. And I just, it was the words tribe. And I just heard, this is not your tribe. Find your tribe. And I'm like, bro, WTF, la da da. I left that night, Jesse. And I called you from mom's house, who at that time, you know, lived down the street from where I was living. And that was the beginning of everything. Of this new life for me in that moment. And it's when you and I found something to connect on for the first time, maybe ever.
Probably ever.
And I never went back. I mean, of course there was, you know, communication and stuff like that.
I remember that call, Megan.
Yeah,
I still remember it. And I remember
It was such a spin for me. I don't know that I can.
Well, I remember it. I mean, I remember every detail of the call, but I remember that feeling, because I remember feeling like, just as your big brother, and obviously I still loved you even though we were estranged, I just felt like, hallelujah, I intuitively knew that relationship was not supportive to your higher growth, but mostly it was a hallelujah of, oh my goodness, my sister is waking up, and finally, like, at that point I'd been on my path a decade, so I had just wanted you there, and I just remember being so happy that, and then I remember it wasn't long after that call, I was scheduled to go back home to visit, and we went on a bike ride together, and we had an epic bike ride, and I feel like that almost like sealed the deal that we knew we weren't going to be estranged to each other anymore. And not that it became, we were just besties running through the forest holding hands, but something has shifted since then. So I got to pause this here, because we're gonna have to take a break for commercial, Megs, but I want to say, you know, thank you again for just owning all this, being vulnerable. You're already opening us up perfectly for the segment when we get back around the Lotus and the further of what this transformation looks like and how your new life is unfolding. So stay tuned. We'll be back soon with more of Megan's story here on Lead with Heart.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Leadership isn't just about decisions. It's about presence, compassion, and courage. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, somatic psychologist and healer. And on Lead with Heart, we explore what happens when we lead with awareness, compassion, and the body in mind. From brain health to relational intelligence, from trauma-informed leadership to embodied teams, each episode reveals a deeper way to lead. Lead with Heart is airing now on Now Media TV, because the greatest leaders don't just guide people, they awaken them. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead with Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose.
Welcome back to Lead with Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Jesse Hansen. And in this segment, we're going to continue this conversation with Megan Hansen and learn more about her unique style of growing lotuses. At this point, Megs, you've brought it to the moment of, you know, there's crucial moments you've named in your story, right? So just being born and feeling the sense of rejection, that new identity emerging out of just wanting to be anything other than my little sister. And now this awakening moment, spiritual experience that you realize not only this relationship is not really genuine or true, but a lot of your life is the same, right?
Yes.
So pick us up from there and help us understand how you continue to transform and help bring us forward in this segment to, you know, who you are now.
Yeah.
And Earth School.
Yeah, I would love to. I would like to say just what you shared that the end of that last little piece of how happy you were. That felt really nice to hear you say that. And I get it now. I get it now, because I'm sit there too, right? Like, when somebody comes into this more conscious, this choice of more conscious way of living, it's like the heavens opening, right? So I get it now. And back then it felt a little bit more like, Jesse's up here and we're down here and you got to believe what I got to believe. And so just naming that, I get that now, like that moment. And so in that moment, I'm like, okay, I'm having only thing I know from my paradigm of the North American clinical mental health world is that I'm having a psychotic break. I'm at the right age. I'm in my mid 30s. Like, yep, this is happening, bro. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to the place I'm doing my inpatient or I'm doing my residency at. I'm going to now be a client
patient
until I talk to you. And you're like, let's pump the brakes. Maybe there's another way to look at this. Something else could be happening. So
good big brother moment. I started finally to make up for some lost time.
It for sure. For sure. And the other piece to name, and it'll move fast from here too, to get kind of to more to the present. You know, that wasn't the most vulnerable piece to share. It's that as I was approaching the wedding, you know, as spirit is speaking to me and I'm not listening and has been, we joke around that you get a little whisper, you get a little tap, and then you get a 2x4, right? And so I began to develop a very intense and consuming relationship with a client. And ultimately, that led to me taking a leave of absence. And of course, there was no technical lines crossed. However, there was so much happening inside of me with this man. And I did go to, you know, my boss about it. And that's when she asked me to take a leave of absence. And I think I knew in that moment, like, this was something so far beyond any return to this life.
I mean, you knew the leave of absence was actually a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. And there was a part of me that hoped.
Yeah.
Hope this was cold feet. Hope this was Megan going crazy for before the wedding and life will return to the cookie cutter. And because it had a lot of beauty, I don't mean that in a negative way, right? Like there was so much beauty in a more surface level experience of life. And so I continued to have a relationship with this man who was my client. So this is a person that has never had housing, has never had safe housing. He's currently, you know, living on the streets and, you know, has experienced the most one of, and I've, as have you, understand how hard people's lives have been. And for sure, his has been one of the worst and so the hardest. And so understanding everything of how he has chosen to manage his life in this way through a lot of substances. And so it was a very, very dangerous experience for me. And it was the gift is that it was the mirror for me. It was the depth of my unworthiness that I would for 4 years choose. And it was off and on, pulling away.
Stay with the point. Yeah, where are you going with this? This is
it was depth. The depth of my unworthiness to continue to choose to put myself in a relationship that could never give me what I need.
Yeah.
To continue to put myself in dangerous situations on the streets, to be thrown through a glass window, through, you know, only when in addiction, right? But it never, I mean, this man is
the levels at which you were gonna jeopardize your life, your safety, your mental health, your soul
to this undeserving wound.
Yeah.
And if I could save the most desperately wounded soul on this planet, possibly
one of the top,
could I be worthy
of
this love? And so it was insane.
Yeah.
And you know, at that time I stopped working with humans. I worked with dogs. I worked at a rock climbing gym. I moved out of town. The reason also I want to bring this in and then, not get so much into story is that what I know now is that it was ironic because, you know, his family or people would say, well, you're saving him. He's so much better when he's with da 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 da. When I moved out here and we did a Bufo ceremony together, like pretty quickly after I was out here, I hope I can say that. The toad told me, you have needed this man in your life and you no longer need him. So there was a purpose, and I believe, and I know because we have connected in past lifetimes, we are soul family. He chose, part of the contract was to show up in his most desperate experience to be the mirror of the most desperate parts of me. And so the irony of this is that I did need him.
Yeah.
I needed that whole time. And the beauty of that Bufo ceremony was that you don't need him to be in your work.
Yeah.
You did then. You needed to keep seeing that reflection because otherwise you weren't going to look.
Yeah. And that's so often the case with so many of us, is we have either destructive relationships, jobs, whatever it is, that just keep going until we're finally ready to see it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the next crucial landmark in your story that brings us to you now.
Yeah.
Coming to move here to Costa Rica, really shifting from, we were both raised in the same family, social justice warriors, we were pre-programmed, that's who we should be, that's what we do, that's what our family does. Mm-hmm. I had my awakening at 23, also on the same track as you, trying to do the social worker thing, and I could just feel it the same. So this is you now realizing, not only do I not need this guy in my life anymore, but I don't necessarily need to find my identity through the social work role.
Yeah.
And enters where I get really excited, and it was the next level of our deeper connection of like you stepping into, really our family bloodline is not about social justice, it's about helping and healing. Yeah. Right? Even though neither of our parents were super spiritual or open. So bring us forward to, I'm
it
sorry.
It was the way they knew then.
Yeah.
I mean, we are in this, you know,
it's a very different
revolution
time
right now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Spiritual.
It's a very different time.
Yeah. So they were doing it, I think, through social workers, yeah. How you help, right? Yeah.
So bring us forward to now. Okay. So you've having this awakening and you're now and.
Yeah. So all that time, as dark as I described it, I was in my work. I was coming up to Canada. I was doing all the trainings, anything that touched me, I wanted to get trained in. And I didn't know what I was doing with it. I just wanted to have more of it, more of it. I need this. It started with yoga on the mat.
Yeah.
Right? And so just continuing to, yeah, whatever heals me, I want to do what I can to really bring that in. And then what's happened naturally as I have moved, again, the work's never done. We all know that. But to these different graduating markers of these deeper gaping wounds of healing, I'm ready to share that now with others, or have been. And so as we found our way out here, I mean, I don't know if we want to get into how we got out here.
Let's just stay with on track of you and how, like, you tell me what it's like for you to step into the healer role and what that actually looks like.
Yeah. For me to step into the healer role, it's really about letting people know that I'm walking this with them, that I am here, you know, I'm sometimes behind supporting, I can be that guide and that light out in front. There's something about the authenticity and the realness and the relatability that's part of my medicine, so to speak. I feel so much gratitude. And it's partly grateful that I'm now stepping in. It feels incredible to be in my power, to be owning who I am, to be owning my gift and my purpose. And I'm not here for everybody. No one's meant to do that. I'm here for the people that, right, that are called in, that resonate.
Yeah.
And you asked a little bit of what, you know, Earth School embodiment, the reason
Before you tell that, I just want to jump in and say that, yeah. No, it's awesome to hear you say that. I was kind of hoping you might find that in you to realize, like, yeah, like, you are worthy of this work, you are beautiful, yeah. With it. And as you're saying that, especially kind of going through our story, your story again, which is partly ours, you know, just to let that little 5-year-old or whatever younger age is, just let her feel you right now of like, yeah, this is it, like, and there's no more, like, not to say that wound doesn't exist, because they do for us and yet you have done such a great job in your work, in your evolution, that you're no longer guided by that little girl inside that needed to be loved by me or whoever, right? That you're owning, and I see it in you now, I feel it in you now, so much more of the woman coming online. So beautiful, really
Thank
beautiful
you.
To hear that. And, you know, to honor the Earth School and embodiment, let's pause it here so we have adequate space for you to open up on that when we get back from this break, because that's going to open us up to the deeper wisdom, which is part of the harvest, which is the segment we're going to go into right after this break. We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and practices to help you lead from your whole self. This is Lead with Heart on Now Media Television.
Leadership isn't just about decisions. It's about presence, compassion, and courage. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, somatic psychologist and healer. And on Lead With Heart, we explore what happens when we lead with awareness, compassion, and the body in mind. From brain health to relational intelligence, from trauma-informed leadership to embodied teams, each episode reveals a deeper way to lead. Lead With Heart is airing now on Now Media TV, because the greatest leaders don't just guide people, they awaken them. And we're back. I'm Dr. Jesse Hansen, and you're watching Lead With Heart on Now Media Television. Let's continue embracing leadership with presence and purpose.
Welcome back to Lead With Heart. You can keep tuned in to this show and all your Now Media favorites simply by downloading the app on iOS or Android. We're on Apple TV, Roku. You can also listen to us through podcasts on all the major platforms. So stay connected, please, and thank you. We're going to now continue and bring this episode home with Megan Hansen. This final segment is all about the harvest. It's about understanding how Megan has been transmuting all of these different experiences, paying it forward, and here you are now living in Costa Rica, 2026. Tell us about Earth School Embodiment. Tell us the wisdom that you walk with now. Anything you want our viewers to know about what you're dreaming awake now for yourself.
Yeah, I think a good place to start is, Earth School Embodiment, that's new. I was holistichypnotherapy.com for a while, and I'm now, shifted into Earth School Embodiment. And what that means to me related to the work is I feel like my work is the work that I offer, that I support people in, that I am particularly gifted in, is helping people really move in this earth school into the mud, into the roots, into the origin of these wounds, into the shadow, into the darkness, into the muck, in a way that feels safe and supported by me, right? Or whatever I can bring in, and help also clients bring that in for themselves. And so much of this work is in the body as well. And so that's where the embodiment piece comes into it. And so now, I feel like these 3 years, the past 3 years in Costa Rica have been, expedited in my growth and my healing process. And so number one, stay in the work. I care more about who I'm co-creating with, about how much work, personal work they've done on themselves, than how many certifications academia they have. So for me, part of what I bring is a person that's constantly in their work, and out here it's become, my private practice is mostly online, and where I really, really love to be is in the retreat space or in the group work. And I just believe, and this takes us back to, being able to access indigenous communities here and the ancestral wisdom of healing in community. Yeah. And, we've all heard and, understand that we experience trauma in relationships. So healing in relationship makes sense. It's also what our ancestors have been doing and knowing. And so as we bring this relational field in, it's just a whole nother level of human mirrors and understanding and connection and belonging and growth and support. And in those spaces, people will notice how they can be held, how they can also hold. I mean, the group experiences for me are one of my most favorite and passionate pieces. And I think where, I do shine in that way. And out here, it's like just creating, co-creating, playing with different facilitators and healers and therapists. It's been incredible to do work with you. Who would have ever thought? And also, You've been one of the hardest mirrors of my life, right? So coming out here was this huge process of little Maggie and Jesse that I needed to journey on my own.
Well, especially since we had been estranged and not lived near each other for
the 2x4 from Spirit, bro. Yeah. That first retreat, first we had a couple of small retreats, and little Maggie just came alive.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I didn't even realize how tender she still was in relationship with you. So you've just been holding such a steady mirror for me to do my work in that way, because she holds me, she helps me stay small.
Yeah.
And there's a tenderness to her I want, yet as I integrate her, I can be the woman that sits before you today. I don't forget her. I want her because she keeps me playful and she's tender. Yet I want, and I am, the woman that sits here. And the last piece, I know you want to inquire about something or share. It's like, this felt like such a ceremony. And I know we probably, likely, yeah, of course, had different experiences moving into it. And it's all good because I'm in such a space now, you know, where it's sourcing so much from within myself. You get to show up exactly who you are and how you are. I don't need anything from you. And this moment has felt like such a ceremony to be here. And what feels so true is that not only did I choose to hold this role as the problem of the family, it's what I felt was the only space left.
Mm-hmm.
You came in first. You did a great job of being fantastic. And there was only this little space left of shadow is what it felt like. And in this moment, it feels like we're both sitting in the light together. There's space for both of us.
There's lots of space for both of us. Yeah. Well said. Well said, Megs. No, thank you. That means a lot. And yeah, it goes without saying, like, I'm beyond proud of you as your brother. I'm proud of you as a colleague and a mental health professional and someone that's been at this for 25 years. Like, you have come so far as a healer and as who you are as a woman. And for our viewers to know, and both of us being vulnerable here, but I can't say I can remember the exact date, but just like I remember that phone call when it was like, oh my goodness, like, I'm actually going to start to have deep conversations with my sister and maybe see her not just like fumble in her life or whatever, right? It was like that moment mirrors into me now what was probably, not that long ago, a year to a year and a half maybe, where you continue to do your work, and I'm very imperfect, as you know, and I have plenty of shadow and I work on my stuff. And yet one thing that you named today here was how, you maybe projected onto me needing to be accepted by me, and maybe even some stuff left over from dad and dad stuff and like all this. And like, I can remember that just before you even proclaimed it to me, and I think you had done some deeper work at some kind of deep dive here in Costa, but that, yeah, massive energetic shift of being able to be in relationship with you without the unhealthy. There's healthy parts of little Megs and all of our inner children that are the playful, the sensitive, the courageous, the curious. And then there's the unhealthy parts, which are often around either abandonment or inundation. And I can feel the moment where, you know, that shifted in you, because all of a sudden when I would hang out with you or see you, I didn't have this feeling of like, oh my gosh, I don't want to upset her. I don't want to trigger her. Like, I could do, you know, something that doesn't seem like a big deal to me, and it would hurt you. And I'm like, ah. And so that, you know, that's the lived embodied experience that is a testimony to that. I know you're doing your work and I see you rising, and it's amazing to keep watching you rise. And I'm so happy we can both sit in the light without, you know, we're still siblings. Stuff's going to come up inevitably, but it's, we can go way more than 48 hours now.
Right? We can. Well, thank you for acknowledging that. And I just, the last, I don't know how close we are now, just would share that, you know, I'm like, I feel like I'm breaking into this whole new experience of who I am in my 40s. I have half my life to go, at least, right, bro?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, wow, Jesse started when he was 25 or 23 or whatever, out California Jesse. And I'm like, I'm so excited that I get to do this now, right? Like, my life is so exciting at 40. Like, there's so much newness and so much possibility and so much. And taking on, you know, stepping into myself as healer, therapist, whatever word, just the guide and the supporter and the light. It's like my wish for you is to step back into the human a little more, to live in the more human experience outside of the healer. Yeah. And because for me, balance is, that's one thing coming out here to Costa was like, I'm holding that line. I want time with you and the family. I want all that. And so that may not be your wish. I think it is.
It's a shared wish.
Of like, we can trade places. We don't have to. We can take up the same space. But also just saying, like, you dove in deep to healer in the first half of your life.
Yeah.
Some other healers are out here, bro. Like, you don't have to do it all.
It's not all on my shoulders anymore.
Yeah.
Well, never was, but I had that perception, right?
Right.
No, I humbly admit. Bill Hansen. Yeah, our father. I humbly.
Bill Hansen. Our father played on words.
Yeah.
I won't say the famous
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. But no, just to bring it home, Megs, is that no, I fully admit I've done both a beautiful job of integrating my true personal authentic identity with my professional identity. Mm-hmm. And I feel so blessed for that. I give thanks every day that I get to, you know, I know so many people and I've worked with so many people that are like, oh, I have to be two different people. And I feel blessed at that. And to your point and your fair wish/truth arrow is that, yeah, no, I humbly admit that that needs to come back into balance. And I would love to learn how to just be, you know, just to be,
remember.
Right? So there's one last quick point I want to weave in before we wrap it, which is it brings us back a little lighter, is that also with just honoring, you know, you and Earth School embodiment, I also love that, you know, shifting from holistic hypnotherapy was a little bit more clinical, as well as that was your initial sort of breakthrough yoga hypnosis. Now your services are so much more varied and open. But I also just love the name Earth School because it is also something I am so deeply passionate about. Part of why we moved here to Costa Rica, Pachamama, Mother Nature, so such a powerful healing agent. So I feel like that's also part of what I witness in you coming as a healer is learning how to do, we were both trained originally to do it within the social services systems, within the clinical psychology systems, which are very, they have their place and they're helpful, but they're also dry and they're stale and they're whitewashed. And this ancient wisdom, and even just feel the space we're in today, like every day I give thanks for Costa Rica that there's so much beautiful nature here.
Yeah.
And so I just want to honor the wisdom of nature greater than us, as well as the wisdom of you as a healer, you know, not only just moving here and having this as a place to integrate nature into your treatments, but actually sort of branding yourself in connection with Mother Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that in. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's powerful. And I want to make sure our guests know, our viewers know who are listening. How do they keep in touch with you if they want to
That's a good
reach
question,
you?
I'm not a social media person. Well, I have a website.
That's a good start.
Earthschoolembodiment.com. And you can also email me if you like. That's my my main way I communicate outside of texting. So that is m@earthschool.org. And school is spelled with a K because I am cool and quirky, and I did that intentionally. And I have, yeah, I have two retreats coming up in the United States. I go back once a year in the fall. And so I have a women's retreat and a co-ed retreat in September and October. Some who knows what out here. And,
yeah, things are always brewing here.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought there's like one nugget of truth, like what, or one teaching that has continued to guide me that I'd love to share. And it's may not. It has a lot of depth if you really move into it or really try to walk it. It's just trust in truth. And what I mean by that is, of course, we have to do the work to be able to find what our truth is, right? Without
to get more embodied, to get more connected.
Channel changers coming in. When we find that, we just take one step in that direction. We have to release any outcome to what it looks like.
Yeah. Trust in truth, embodied truth. Beautiful, Megs.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that closing wisdom. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been an honor. It's been wild, brave, courageous, vulnerable, all of those things to have you here as my sister. And
wow.
I love you. I appreciate you. And thank you.
I love you too.
Thanks, Megs.
Thank you for having me, Jesse.
And thank you all you lovely viewers for staying tuned here to Lead with Heart. We're going to continue to bring amazing heart-opening stories coming at you. So stay tuned. Next time, we'll see you here back on Lead with Heart. Pura vida. Live the pure life.